Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us. We have 60 minutes lined up with lots of football talk, talking some high school football and some college football. We'll be joined on the phone lines a little later on by Rob Scarlatta, head coach at Georgetown University, talking football with him. And joining me in studio, as always, for the entire program from the RCN Sports Department, color analyst number one, paired with Gary Laubach during our football high school broadcast and Lafayette broadcast, Mr. Mike Joseph. And, of course, the co-host of the program, senior sports writer to The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Grill.
It's an honor and a privilege to have Mike on the show. I think I've been here about a year, and if he was on before, I was not here. It's great to have him here.
Yeah, and when Gary was here, Keith spent 28 minutes sucking up to Gary. So since Mike is his partner, he should have at least 14.
Cut it in half.
But I know your family. Look, at your who's your father?
My father was Albert Joseph.
Yep. Played at Allentown High School
from 57 to 59.
Yep. With my father, who they were best friends.
Is that right?
I don't know if you ever knew that.
Sure, I did not know that.
Rocky Gruller. I know your father's
Rocky
deceased.
Rocky Gruller, Dickie McCool.
Yeah.
Slam Barrett.
So we go way back.
John Dunmore.
And I know Danny would be your uncle.
Danny's
right?
My uncle, yep.
And
yep.
I know him a long time, and, you know, too. So, I mean, I know the Joseph family well.
All over
first class people. First class.
I appreciate that.
Now, your brother, who's an official, what's his first name?
Jim.
Jim.
Graduated from Parkland in 86.
Yeah.
Or 82. So he was 2 years ahead of me.
Yeah. Now, a few weeks ago, he sat next to us up in the press box at Whitehall.
Correct.
He told us tons of dirt that we're going to bring up throughout tonight's show.
No,
just kidding.
It's good. You're going to get that instead of me.
I get enough from Gary during the week.
All right, some high school football talk to lead off the program, too. Mike, as Keith said, this is your first time on with us this fall.
Yep.
Obviously, Parkland right now is in the driver's seat. You were at the big Parkland-Becca game last week, a battle of unbeatens that was live on RCN. Gary and Mike and Tony had the call of that one. Your thoughts on that game and about Parkland's 7-0 start?
Well, they've just gotten stronger, I think, each week. And what was so impressive about them going against the Becca team that was really loaded offensively, although they did not have Tavion Banks, which was huge. And you saw as the game progressed, missing him was huge. But Parkland got the early turnover off of Clements with the throw. Joey Guida picked the ball off, took it down inside a couple plays later. But it was really about Jahan Wirth. It was about his strength and his speed. I think Parkland ran one offensive play 15 times, and Becca had really no answer for it. So I think as the game progressed, Parkland got that 2-score lead, and then once they got that, it kind of in cruise control. But Becca kind of surprised me with their game plan. They ran the ball, I think, more than I thought they would. At the end of the game, I saw, I think, 16 passes. But when you have a guy like Clements, and I think the fact that Banks wasn't on the field, it fell on the shoulders of Rhodes. And at that point in time, I think it was just too much Parkland.
Now, last year, Becca went through a little bit of a swoon the second half of the year. They had a ton of injuries, too.
Yes.
So they lost after a great start. They lost a couple weeks in a row. They lost to Central Catholic week 10 and then bounced back, beat Central the first week of the playoffs, and then went on a nice run. Do you think they can bounce back a little bit quicker this year?
Well, it's going to be remains to be seen because they play a lot of guys both ways.
Yeah.
So what I noticed is guys like Brandon Gill up front and Dodona and a lot of these guys, they just play a lot of plays. So when I see Parkland, you know, a guy like Wirth would play two series of offense. He'd play the middle linebacker position, and then they'd give him a series or two off. So they had Guida in the backfield. Mm-hmm. They had Nelson in the backfield so that he had time to get a blow. Some of these other kids, especially and I mentioned that during the game, the Becca kids, they're playing 130 to 140 plays a game.
Yeah.
So it's very, very difficult for a guy like Brandon Gill who plays nose and then has to go play tackle. So they do a lot of things both ways. So I think the lack of depth for Becca, it's going to be tough for them
difference.
To bounce back.
I mean, that's
absolutely
a huge difference between a Parkland and a Becca.
Sure.
And you know, the one guy that is a real key guy both sides of the ball for Parkland is Wirth.
Oh, yeah.
And I like how Parkland kind of saves him. They don't run him
exactly.
A ton. He's not going to get 20, 25 carries like another premier back
sure.
In the area. But they're and you know, the previous time I saw Parkland against Whitehall, they left him fresh.
Right.
And they ran a lot of Wirth late to kind of clinch that
game. Well, that's the depth that they have. And the other thing you got to bring up is the fact that Michael Roush, the quarterback, has gotten better from the day I watched in the first game. He was, to put it bluntly, not good. I mean, it was really tough even to throw the ball on the bubble screens and things. Now he has the ability to sit back in that pocket with a better offensive line, I think, that's coming together. And you got a guy on the outside, Tyler Hayes, that can catch the ball down the field. So a lot of weapons for him.
Yeah, I think it might be the most complete team we've seen. That's hard to say when you had a couple years ago, you had Devontae Cross and Kenny Yeboah and DiGirolamo and all those guys. But I think this might be the most complete team. This is the time of year now where the Knights are getting longer. Yeah. The sun is finally going home in the dark. The fall today, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now we start thinking about how far a team like Parkland can go. Yeah,
that's always the question.
And we're still looking probably at a week 14 meeting with probably St. Joe's Prep, maybe LaSalle, but can they get over that hump? They've been very close. Now, I haven't seen a lot of these games because I'm usually on another loop, and last year, the day that they played, I think it was Prep, I was covering Becca.
Prep just had too much for them. You know?
But can we get by that hump? And if we can, we can get to Hershey.
I think they can get to that hump. The question is, can they get over that hump? I bring it up every year. Do they have a quarterback that can drop back on third down and eight and make a play? Because we know they can hang in there defensively. When you have a coach like Tim Montsman who brings the college atmosphere, the college scheme, the college blitzes, the changes in coverage and stuff, he can hold his own against a very good team for a while. But then the question mark is, when Parkland's down a touchdown or two and they have a third down and eight, are they going to get sacked or is that quarterback going to make a play? And I think that's always been the question. We had Devontae Cross, got him to that next level. That's the difference, I think, in all of high school sports around here, is do you have the quarterback that can make that play and get out of the pocket and extend plays? You see it in college every week. I'm just not sad. I'm not sure about that right now.
You know, another thing about Parkland, at the beginning of the year, and I'm not sure who wrote this or who said this about them, but I talked to some of the players very early in the year, and the defensive backs, there was a knock on them. They said, well, they're the weakness of the team. They took that personally, and they've been, you know, out to try to prove people wrong, and they're on a bit of a mission, too. I think they have been playing really well ever since that Easton game. I think we had that on RCN.
Yes.
Ever since that game, I've been focusing on the defensive backs a little bit more, and I think they're even getting better as the season has gone along.
I've talked to Coach Montsman probably early August, and he said to me, we have more athletes. We have more depth. We may not have the size that we've had before, but you got to have a guy like Juan Salas who can play both ways. That kid can play in the slot and then defensively can play in the secondary. They have just guys that attack people downhill, and when you can take away the run with the front six and seven, you have the ability to play more deep, better in the secondary. And they've done that. Now, have they faced an incredible passing attack? I thought they would against Becca, but I was surprised the way Becca tried to attack them on the ground and not through the air.
Parvel and Whitehall gave them a bit of a go. I mean, that game, they don't get that turnover. We still might be playing up at Whitehall. I mean, that was a good football game. And of course, that's the thing I like about Parkland is they take it. I mean, they're everybody's rival. Everybody who plays them, Emmaus is number one rival. That's Whitehall's number one rival. Liberty doesn't like him. I know Liberty doesn't like him at all. Yeah. Freedom, everybody, Easton, all these people, they consider like Parkland. That's the team that they want to be.
That's the game.
And I like the way they handle themselves. I think it's a mature team. I think Montsman and that star-studded, all-star coaching staff that is very deep as well.
Yes, very deep.
I think they prepare these kids to handle these challenges week in and week out as well as anybody.
It's like
a college program, let's face it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think they prepare these kids on a level that maybe some other coaches don't. When you have 3-4 guys on the staff that were head coaches, you get a lot of input from different places, and I think that helps. It's not butting heads type of input, but it's, listen, coach, if we can do something this way, and now you pull a kid aside and you tell him the way to handle a certain situation, and you don't have to bring the head coach into it, I think it goes a long way. So they're not only deep on the field, but they're deep in the staff.
Another team I wanted to ask you about was Easton, and you know, we've talked about the coaching change at length over the last several weeks and months, but looking at what they've done on the field, they've done a very good job. Right now, we're going to take our look at a poll in just a minute or two. They're our number two team. But right now, I would think the Rovers are a very pleasant surprise for not only the people in Easton, but in terms of Lehigh Valley football overall.
Yeah, they're a quiet 5-2 is what they are. And Jeff Bredo's done a fantastic job. But when you have a guy on the other side, a guy like Trevor Storm, who can rush the passer and do so many different things, he adds a different dimension. You got to block him with two people, so that opens things up. They've gotten a lot out of the quarterback that I didn't think they were going to get, and a kid that obviously has got a bunch of games under his belt. I thought he played very well against Parkland. In fact, they're winning the game 7-0, had a chance to extend the game to 14-0, and then obviously a snap over the top of his head completely changed the game. So they have athletes. They have plug-and-play running backs we see every year. They just put a new running back in there, and he's going for 130, 140 yards. In fact, their running back had close to 68 yards against Parkland in the first half, But the game plan and the lead of Parkland took him out of the running game.
You know, you mentioned about plugging in those guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't remember. I've been covering Eastern football for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. I can't remember two receivers like they have who can make.
Yes.
Harrison, what's the other
Harris,
kid's name?
Not sure, but Harris. Well, Harris is 6'4"
right.
And plays free safety.
And they're physical receivers.
Oh, they're physical. Didn't throw to him enough in the Parkland game. They threw to him early. He had the long catch down the sideline, went up over the top of Juan Salas.
It just seems
didn't throw
like
to him again.
I didn't see him against Parkland, but I saw him against Becca. Yeah. And they were right there with Becca, back and forth game.
Right.
And it just seemed like they still have a tendency to make some critical errors that cost them games.
Yes, they do, and they've done that. That's kind of been their Achilles heel this year. They don't make enough plays to get over the top, and they make just enough to fall short.
All right, before we look at the poll, let's get an email in here. John, no town given. When was the last time Allen or Dearif beat Parkland? I believe Allen and Dearif got some great kids, but bad influences at home. I don't know about the second part of that, but Parkland losing to Allen or Dearif? You'd have to go back.
I think you have
years.
To probably go back to night. I'm going to give you a little heads up here. I know you can't wait to get your morning call every day, but I'm going to be doing a piece on the 25th anniversary of the 1992 back-to-back thrillers that Allen and Dearif. When Allentown.
Yep.
We did radio for those games.
It's right.
That?
Matt Kerr. It was the epicenter of the local football world. What did they have? Close to 15,000 people, something like that. Then they had a play again. The crowd wasn't as great. But I'm going to guess. I'd have to look it up. But I'm going to guess 92, 90s. Around that vicinity, when Rich Nizek was at. Rich Nizek was the head coach at Allen. And Mike Marks was the head coach at Dearif.
Wow. All right. So that's a tentative answer for you. I hope, John, we can satisfy your curiosity there. All right. Let's take a look at our big school polls. We haven't had a whole lot of movement since our preseason polls way back in August. Parkland continues to be our number one, as they have been since before the season started. All seven voters voting for Parkland. Easton second with 28 votes. Whitehall unanimous number three with 21 votes. Then a little back and forth among our pollsters. Freedom gets the nod this week as the number four team with 11 votes. The fifth place team is Emmaus with 8 votes. More information on our polls available on the RCN TV website. Keith and Mike, your thoughts on a rather boring poll so far this year, with the exception of Emmaus kind of bouncing around. They started as our number two team. They've gone to number four, now number five. We haven't had much movement at all.
Well, I've had Parkland number one all year. And really, I think I've had the other four at one point in time in the number two spot. Those four are kind of very comparable. I think obviously, and they proved that. I think any one of those four could beat the other. I mean, we've had, Emmaus come back and Whitehall comes back and beats Freedom. You know, they're all jumbled, the other four. Parkland's the clear-cut team. Stroudsburg's getting better. I'm going to check out Stroudsburg this week. I'm going up
Central Catholic.
It's the only game that really matters in the APC North. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go see that one up at the Rostelgatis Stadium on Friday night. And I want to see if Stroudsburg is getting better to the point that they actually can compete with one of the big boys in the Lehigh Valley when we get in. Because they're going to get a home game. Stroudsburg's going to get a home game. They're going to get one of those top four seeds. Mm-hmm. They won't get number one. But they're going to get a home game. Can they pull off a surprise? They've been a perennial qualifier, but they have not gotten it done. And then by and large, the North is nowhere near where the South is. We talk about it all the time.
No, but they're a team that could probably win a few games down in the South Division. And the thing I love about Stroudsburg is the way they play defense. They've only given up 14 points on average for their last five games. And that's what you have to do to win ball games. So Stroudsburg is going to be right there. But going back to the teams that we looked at, Parkland better look out for Emmaus, too. Emmaus always plays Parkland tough. I did a game maybe 3-4 years ago. They beat Parkland on the last second field goal. They beat them last year when they stopped Jahan Wirth on the 1 yard line at Emmaus. Their coach at Emmaus is fantastic. You know, we know Harold. He's done a fantastic job. So they're going to have to watch out. That game's down the line. And I always go back to the fact that Parkland played Easton so early in the season. You know, it happened so early. You'd rather see that game in game 7 or 8, but it happened in week one or week two. So sometimes it's a struggle. But again, any of those teams below Parkland, somewhat interchangeable.
Do you think, and I asked this question a month ago, the answer was no. Do you think any team can go undefeated in the APC this year? Right now, Parkland's sitting at 7-0. They do have Emmaus coming up and two more bowl games. Do you think they can run the table in the regular season?
I think they will. I think they'll run the table. I don't see, besides Emmaus, I don't think there's many more bumps for them down the road. And again, it's a chance for them to play some of their backups and use the depth that they have. I think I would take it easy a little bit on Jahan Wirth. I don't want to see him run the ball 25 times in any of these games. Again, use your all of your depth so that you're ready for those, because you don't need an unneeded injury at this point in time. But I think Parkland has a chance to go undefeated.
I think they go undefeated, and then they're going to have to probably play three teams that they'll luck out and they'll get a Stroudsburg or somebody, and I mean somebody different, because you know how it is when you have to play these rematches. The advantage always goes to the team you've already beaten.
Sure.
They're going to make those adjustments. They're going to make those corrections. And they're going to figure out how to attack you better.
Yeah.
The bottom line is they're going to go 10-0 in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And they're going to come out of District 11 13-0. We're going to get the four. I really believe that. And yeah. I was one about 6 weeks ago that says there's no way. I thought everybody was so talented.
It was a lot of parity a couple weeks ago.
I thought maybe even the division champ might have two losses. Right. But that's not going to happen.
No, and this game should be locally here. So every time we travel down to Northeast Philly to play that game, whether it's LaSalle College or whether it's our LaSalle Catholic or St. Joe's, and they're so well coached. You know, Gabe Infante does a fantastic job. So it's going to come down to that point, but at the same time, I think Parkland's got the shot to go undefeated.
All right, we'll take a look at our small school poll. Again, not much movement all season long. Becca has been our unanimous choice since before the season started. Palisades a few weeks ago moved up and has firm control of the number 2 spot with 21 votes. Notre Dame has moved into the number 3 spot with 11 votes, bumping Central Catholic down to 4 with 6 votes. And then Saucon Valley has been getting more consideration, not quite able to crack our top 4 among the smaller schools. But Bethlehem Catholic and now Palisades seem to be in control of certainly at the 4A level for Bethlehem Catholic, and Palisades right now looks to be the favorite at the Colonial League.
Well, it's great for Palisades. I mean, 7-0, they're having a fantastic season. I think, again, they caught Notre Dame early in the season again.
Week one,
22-17, they beat them. But the wins that they've rolled off lately, the 49-0 win against Salisbury was phenomenal. And then they go to Palmerton. Palmerton has been having a fantastic season, 4-3 right now, but started off so well, and they roll off 62-6. So that is a team that's definitely...
It was 35-0 after a quarter.
It was incredible. I didn't get a chance to see, but obviously Becca's at the top there. And Southern Lehigh's another team that you have to watch. They had a nice win just recently. You got to give it to Palisades. They've really come around, and they're putting together a dream season.
I still have Becca as the number 2 team in the area, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw the way we divide them here. Yeah, I think they're clear-cut number 1 with the small schools. Palisades is a really nice team, and I'm really curious to see how far they go. I mean, I did a feature on Kevin Ronalds, and here's an interesting guy, and I know you probably got to know him a little bit when he was at Allen, and here's a guy that coached at Yale for 4 years. Mm. Then he goes from the Yale Bowl to 17th and what is it?
Chew
out there, Turner, whatever, and he's out there, totally different type of kid, and now he's with another different group of kids, kind of a rural Bucks County, Lake Nakamixon area down here. I don't even know how to describe it. Very different type, but wherever he goes, he gets the best out of kids.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is a one-hit wonder for the Pirates. I heard they have an undefeated
JV
team,
really good running
and they're going to be good. They're going to have a nice little run here. Although they're going to have a rematch probably. You're right, Notre Dame and Palisades, and you know Phil Stamble is an excellent coach, and he's going to make those adjustments. However, I don't know how you're going to compensate for the fact that Palisades. I covered that game. They really took it to him up front. You could do a lot of X's and O's and do a little bit of this and that, but when you control the line of scrimmage, you're tough to beat.
Well, it's always been that. We saw that with Saucon Valley for so many years. They controlled the line of scrimmage, and they just beat up on teams, and you could get close to them, but then they would turn their running backs loose in that big offensive line. But Notre Dame's a team that started 1-2, now 5-2, so I'm looking forward to that rematch. But going back to the coach, he's like a chameleon, like you said. I mean, the kids, like Pied Piper, the kids seem to follow him. And when you get a good coach, you got to hang on to him. And he's a good one.
Real quick question about Saucon Valley. I wanted to get your thoughts. Because they lost. They're the Colonial League champs, people I think forget about from last year. They lost 2 games early, kind of fell off the radar a little bit. Notre Dame and Palisades have been getting more attention. But you saw in our poll, they're starting to get more votes. We're going to see them this Saturday on RCN. Do you think they can continue that momentum? They have Wilson this weekend. And I forget who they have next week, but then they finish with Palisades. Can they continue that momentum and get in the 4A classification, 5A
No, it's 4A.
4A. That's the one in which there's seven teams and only four get in, probably the toughest of all the classifications for anyone from the Lehigh Valley.
I'll tell you what, I think Sauk is still very good, and they're off the radar because they lost two games by a total of 4 points. They lost by one up at Palmerton, and then they lost in that field goal at the buzzer to Southern Lehigh. They're a very good football team. This Alston Wolf is phenomenal.
Terrific.
They got Zach Petit. They're a little bit, you know, they're a little bit heavy on. I like a balanced team. Everybody strives for balance. Mm-hmm. Although some of the top teams in the Colonial League, Mike, are very run-oriented. Palisades just pounds you away on the ground, and Saucon really pounds you away as well. And Wolf, maybe not the best passer. They don't throw the football a lot, but can they beat Beck in 4A? No way.
No.
Okay, I'm going to apologize to the folks at Saucon because I thought the same thing a couple years ago when they did upset the Golden Hawks. But can they beat anybody else in 4A? I think so. I think they can get to the final again. I really do.
Yeah, they should be able to do that as well. And the only thing that stopped Sauk Valley a couple of years ago was an Imhotep, a Division III football team. Yeah. I mean, they were terrific. And don't fall asleep on Southern Lehigh. That kid, Luke Strauss, that they have is fantastic. I watched him play last year. Got speed, just flat-out speed. And in that league, a lot of times speed can get you to the edge, and they've done a great job as well.
All right, we'll have some more high school football talk coming up in just a bit. Right now it's time for the trivia question to give you a chance to win tonight's prize. There are just two teams that account for 5 of the 10 youngest NFL football coaches since the league's inception back in 1920. Just two teams accounting for 5 of the 10 youngest head football coaches ever in the NFL. Who are those two teams? Name the two teams that have accounted for 5 of the 10 youngest NFL coaches all time. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
One of the big games coming up this weekend involves rivals from Freedom and Nazareth. We'll feature that game on RCN on tape delay on Friday night as the two teams square off the new Andrew Lay Stadium. Our Sports Talk cameras stopped by the Blue Eagles facility this week to talk with them about their season and get their thoughts on the matchup against the Patriots on Friday night.
First half of the season, I felt we played pretty decent, not to our capability, but we let a couple games slip away on the defensive end, and we're just going to try to get back in the playoffs and get those teams back.
I think the biggest things the team has to focus on in the next few weeks are the defensive line needs to stay low. We need to stay with our coverages, too. And for offense, I think our offensive line just needs to stick with the blocks and let our skills do the work.
What I took out of the Emmaus game was we had a pretty good offensive game. We just need to pick it up a little bit on defense. We need to contain the quarterback more and work on our coverage.
The key for victory against Freedom, we need to play better defense. We got to stop the run for sure. We can't allow 55 points again in a game. It's our third time this year allowing 50-plus points.
We got to work on tackling all year. It's been a big thing. Our offense is doing what we got to do, but the defense needs to step up and give some three and outs when they're needed.
We need to improve. We need to not have as many three and outs. We need to execute more on offense. And the key to beat Freedom is to execute on offense, be able to run the ball.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Mike Joseph, RCN football color commentator for both high school and for Lafayette, joining Keith Groller and myself. Again, Rob Scarlotta is going to be on in a few minutes to talk about Georgetown football and preview the Hoyas game against Lehigh this Saturday, so turnabout is fair play. And Mike, how about them Leopards, 2-0 and in first place after they lost the first four games, all non-conference games, but now they have really found a niche two straight wins in a row, and now you're talking Patriot League championship, right?
Well, we're not going that far just yet.
Yes, you were near the commercial break.
Well, you're right, I was. But they've done a fantastic job, and I think the biggest thing is they bought into what Coach Garrett is selling, and that's just becoming a better team, really, play by play. I mean, he puts no emphasis on wins and losses. He puts no emphasis on the play prior to this. So it's all about moving forward. And it's a great approach with the kids at Lafayette who have won three coming into the season, you know, won three of the last 19 games. So they, I think it was a great approach to them. They found their footing defensively. Early in the season defensively, we thought that their front seven would be the best in the league. It did not turn out that way after, say, the first half of the Monmouth game. They really struggled against, obviously, teams like Villanova, although they did Villanova put up 28 points, non-offensive points. So that was kind of an aberration. They played great against Fordham, and obviously the week before against Holy Cross, that was a huge win, Coach Garrett's first win. I thought Holy Cross kind of handed it to him a little bit by going for a 4th-and-1 on the 30-yard line, but Lafayette stepped up, stopped them, kicked the field goal with a freshman kicker, and away they went. And last week against the Fordham team, against the Chase Edmonds, who's probably the best back in FCS, injured and slowed by an ankle injury. Again, but when you get those opportunities to put teams down, Lafayette has done that. Now they go to Harvard. Going to be a tough task to drive to Harvard, but I give them a great chance to win that game. This is a Harvard team that's not like the teams they've had in the past. They have a freshman quarterback. And then obviously it's back to Bucknell. So 2-0 in the Patriot League. I think they've done a fantastic job. They probably won two more games than most people thought they were going to win all year.
So you got a Harvard non-conference game coming up. Bucknell, Georgetown's a
Georgetown.
Win. Colgate?
Colgate's going to be a tough game. You know, the thing about Colgate is the best thing about Colgate is you get to play them at home. Mm-hmm. You're going to play them here. You don't have to travel to Hamilton because I made that trip.
Hamilton was gorgeous on
Saturday.
Yeah,
well, it's not going to be
80 degrees at kickoff.
4 weeks from now, it's not going to be gorgeous. There's going to be a snowstorm up there and getting up Route 12 there for 25 miles. But having them here at Lafayette is going to be a huge advantage. And then, obviously, the big one at the end of the season over in Bethlehem.
So what do you think? What's your prediction heading into the Lehigh game?
Heading into the Lehigh game, I don't see any reason why Lafayette, if they play defense the way they've done, get a little bit more out of their freshman quarterback. Remember, Sean O'Malley is a freshman, but there are – he's made huge strides. Still makes the freshman mistakes. Throws the ball where you say, wow, where did that ball come from? And offensive line-wise, they still struggle to run the football. They just can't run the football, and I don't understand. I do kind of do understand why their line is a little bit young, and they're not as strong as they will be. Obviously, you know, the Patriot League does not redshirt, so you don't get the strength of the kids up front. So they're playing a lot of kids when they probably should have a redshirt year. So they really struggle to run the ball, but when they throw the ball, they do it effectively. And with a guy like Sean O'Malley, the more reps he gets under his belt, I don't see any reason that Lafayette can't go into that Lehigh game with one loss or no losses, and it may for the Mountain Hawks it may be the same.
But let's be honest. Yeah. The Patriot League is down this year.
Yes, it is.
And for whatever reason it's down, and there's a lot of teams with injuries. Edmonds is not 100%.
Nope.
I'm not sure that Pujols is 100% either.
No.
But look, I don't care. Hey, you win football games. What I like about Lafayette, which I still don't see from Lehigh, even though they got a win this past week, is it's a solid defense that will keep you in games.
Yes.
Lehigh played well enough to win up at Colgate, but it's all in the offense too often with that program. That's like the fact – if you ask me what I rather have – a solid defense or a spectacular offense, I'll take the solid defense every time because that defense is going to keep you in games. Yeah. Offenses, no matter how brilliant they are, tend to turn it over from time to time.
Well, Brad Mays is a kid that'll put it up for 500 yards, but I like Lehigh's running game as well. They do a great job.
Oh, that's the key. Dom Bragg alone.
Yep. The fact that he can run the football and was the player of the week last week, 180-some yards. Mm-hmm. If you have that running game to take the pressure off your quarterback, you can do both. Now you can stay on the field. Lafayette's problem is sometimes they can't stay on the field past three plays. If they get it going and they pick up the tempo, all of a sudden they're 2-3. You know, but if they get behind the sticks and third and long and second and long, they really struggle. So the running game is going to come into play at some point in time. But like you said, I'd rather have a front seven that can get after the quarterback and get you off the field than an offense that, you know, needs to outscore you on the field.
I mean, there was a time, Mike, on Saturday, Colgate, 4 possessions, 4 touchdowns. Yeah. And it wasn't a matter if they were going to score. It was just how quickly were they going to. Now, I got to give Joe Bottolari and the whole defensive staff credit. They came out and they only had Colgate only had 10 points in the whole second half. Yep. And the last two drives, Colgate was stopped for a field goal. That was a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then they got the fumble at the end. But it's going to be interesting. I'm happy. Look, I am happy that both of these school programs are doing well. Are not great yet. I mean, right. we're still under 500, I believe. But at least there's some excitement because I can't. You know how many people were at Colgate for that game? And it was like the best day ever. I mean, I mean, up there many times. Usually, sometimes it's snowing. Sometimes it's icy. Yeah. It was like 2,900 people. Wow. That's a shame. As I said, like on a couple when Gary was on, these kids, the quality of play deserves better. I really do.
Yeah, it does. And you look at the Patriot League. There's not a team in the league with a winning record. And there was an article, ESPN wrote an article about what's wrong with the Patriot League. They should be better. With scholarships, they should be better. And we talked to actually Coach Tim Murphy, the head coach of Harvard, this week at our media day. And they asked him flat out, is the Patriot League better off for having scholarships? And he said, I thought it was going to be very tough on the Ivy League and that the Patriot League adopted the scholarship issue. But he said he has not seen a huge change since the Patriot League has offered scholarships. That's interesting coming from a coach like Tim Murphy, who's a legend.
And why would he say that? Why would he say, is that an indictment on the kids that they're bringing in?
You know, Coach Murphy's he knows a lot of football, so he's seen both ends of it. So
the scholarships are one thing, but the redshirting is another big issue. When you're going against a lot of fifth-year guys, now Lehigh has fifth-year guys this year, three of them.
Your non-conference games are that way. Yeah. I mean, you play a Villanova, you play a Delaware, you play a Sacred Heart or Lafayette went out of league to play Monmouth. Those teams redshirt. Their offensive lines for the first 5 weeks of the season were dominant. They were fifth-year seniors. In fact, Monmouth had 5 fifth-year seniors across the front. Villanova, 4 out of 5. And that's what Lafayette faced. So maybe Lafayette's defensive line is seeing a little less of that now in the Patriot League.
We got to move on to something much more positive. It's time for Growler's Grumblings, where Keith gets to sound off and talk about all the wonderful things going on in the world of sports and throw in a few positives here at this point in the program. Mr. Growler.
I like listening to this guy. I mean, he's the best.
Only the second compliment. You have 78 more to catch up.
No, I'm
going to
tell you. I mean, it's a real pleasure. I probably talk less on this show than I have on any other show because you are so good. Anyway,
you said that when Gary was here too.
I hope you're enjoying the baseball playoffs. By the way, I think they've been very compelling, and I think a lot of people. I think the Yankees Indians game 5 drew a record rating. I want to take it to the indoors, however. As you know, we had an exciting basketball season this past year, and the highlight, of course, was the District 11 6A semifinals at the PPL Center, the biggest crowd we've ever had for basketball. I'm under the impression that they're having a little trouble working with the folks at the PPL Center. I want to throw them under the bus completely because I haven't talked to them, but I understand that they're not as accommodating as they should and could be when it comes to welcoming the high school kids into their arena. I mean, you're depending on the Lehigh Valley to fund that your facility, to support these teams, whether it's the Coca-Cola Park or the PPL Center. I hope that the people running the PPL Center, and it's great to have Barry Manilow there and the monster trucks and this and that, professional wrestling, but really the lifeblood of that building should be the community events, and nothing better than having local wrestling, local basketball. I hope they do themselves a favor and work a little harder than they apparently are to accommodate District 11 when it comes to, in particular, the wrestling and the basketball coming up this winter.
All right, time for another timeout feature as we head to break. 76ers are less than a week away from the start of their important season coming up. Mike has season tickets already on board for that. Team President Brian Colangelo and some of the players talked about their preseason and about their expectations for the upcoming season.
We are really happy and pleased with where we are. I feel like we're at a real true jumping off point and have the ability to take the next step as an organization. And the excitement around the organization, amongst the players, in the back of house, with the fan base, it's something that you don't see very often.
To be honest, I'm not sure. You know, that's why we have training camp. That's why we have the preseason. So people can kind of get a feel for what their role will be. And you know, over the course of an 82 game season, you know, I've learned over my 3 years already is that you know your role can change a lot. You know, in those 82 games.
Just trying to be a professional. It has been a lot. I hear all the trade rumors just like you guys do, and it's been a lot. But Just trying to stay as professional as possible and control what I can. That's why I took the initiative this offseason to change my diet, lose weight, and to try to prepare the best way I can. So once season comes, I'll be in good shape no matter where I end up. If it's here, so be it. If not, so be it.
I can hope, you know, I'll play like the same minutes this year. But I don't think about that like that. I think, you know, I'm in better team than last year. And when you sign like this kind of players and you are here, of course, you are ready to take any role in team what they give you. And that's how I feel now.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Mike Joseph, our special in-studio guest today, joining Keith Groller and myself. Programming note, we're going to be off next week because it's the big Halloween parade week on RCN with lots of parades coverage, which we're very happy to bring you all next week.
Are you still going to be marching in it, Chris?
No. What do you mean still marching in it?
I mean, are you going to make an appearance? Maybe wave to all your adoring fans at the parade?
Your Superman costume.
No. What are you talking about?
Why don't you be in the parade to represent the show?
Why should I be there?
Watch us next Thursday on RCN 4.
Why don't you show up there?
You're the star.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
oh,
you
boy.
Are.
Speaking of big stars, we're going to be off this week, as I started to say. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. And at that time, we'll be joined by Fox Sports' Matt Millen, who will be certainly his assignment isn't confirmed yet, but that is the week of Penn State, Ohio State, which I'm sure that conversation will come up a little bit that week on the program. So Matt Millen will be on the show along with Mark Wilgenrich of The Morning Call 2 weeks from tonight. Mike, you have a real quick Matt Millen story.
And Matt probably doesn't remember this, but my children, this is probably 15 years ago when I was coaching at Lafayette, went down the hill to the Perkins down there for breakfast on a Sunday morning. Noticed that Mr. Millen was sitting, I called him Mr. Millen, was sitting behind me. I introduced myself to him, and he kind of said he knew me and I knew him, and we had played golf once and we were talking. And so we go back, and I got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old sitting with me. And before you know it, I get up to pay the bill, and he had since left, kind of waved to him and he left. And the waitress says, "Well, Mr. Millen picked up your bill."
Oh, yeah.
That's
and
great.
I said,
"That's terrific.
Come on." I tried to go outside and try to find him, and he was gone already, but he picked up my bill. He was there with his son and his family, and just that quick hello, and couldn't have been a nicer guy, and I'll never, ever forget it.
See, if it was me, they would have left another check for
he
me.
He would have put in
two checks.
All right. It's time for the roundtable part of the show. Roundtable involves local, regional, and national sports topics that we put before our panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions on these topics. All right, topic number one, and I was really hoping to avoid this and get through football season. obviously, this is an issue with the pros, kneeling for the national anthem. It was an issue at the college level. It's been an issue at high school outside the RCN viewing area, and now it has creeped inside the RCN viewing area, and we have schools, and I'm not going to say which school, that had students that were kneeling for the national anthem last week. Should high schools be responsible, and some high schools around the country have said, you're not, if you kneel, if you don't stand and respect the flag for the national anthem, you're off the team. Should high schools do that with local athletes?
Keith?
I thought legally they can't force kids to do that. I thought we had a story a while ago when this thing initially broke that legally they're supposed to let the kids do what they want to do. And I would think that if they kick teams off, you're going to see some loss. You know how parents are today. Uh-huh. They get angry about everything. I would think there would be a flood of lawsuits. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope the kids have enough respect for their coaches and abide by their coaches' wishes. Mm-hmm. But I don't think legally there's any recourse to do that.
Well, so far there has been legal action. We've seen high schools doing it in the South. We've seen Albright College do that to a player. They kicked him off the team. And I was a little disturbed, too, and people may get mad at me for saying this. Channel 69, if you're doing a live broadcast and someone kneels and it goes on, I could understand that. Mm-hmm. But they got footage of the players kneeling and then reran it later on their newscast. So that's, you know, when you make that decision, you have a cameraman making that decision, an editor, producer probably is involved in that. So you had a couple people sign off on that, which really disappointed me. But, Mike, your thoughts on this?
Well, you said that it's a kind of a hot-button topic, so they reran it, but personally, I don't like it. I don't have an opinion either way. I do live in a household with three teenagers who have a different opinion about all of it. So you get both views of it. But, you know, athletics to me is just all about team. Yeah. So once you get into that locker room, it really doesn't matter who you are. It's all about team, and that's the way I always taught. But to me, there should be a separation between athletics and state. Separation between church and state. There should be a separation between athletics and state.
It's funny how that kind of comes and goes. Sometimes you have to have that firm separation. Others, we have to have this expression no matter what.
But you cannot take away someone's right to not agree with you. You can disagree to a point of discussion, but at the same time, I just think it's impossible.
But if it's a team rule, then if you're on the team, should you have to follow that rule?
I agree wholeheartedly with what Mike's saying. I was, to go about the 69 thing, I was concerned. The morning call, we did a story, and I had to get involved in a story a couple weeks ago when this thing was just breaking. Yeah. And I thought, let's not give publicity to this. Let's not plant the seed for a local
kids. That's why I hadn't brought it up.
I wasn't really happy that we kind of did it. Unfortunately, I don't think anything really happened that particular Friday night, which I was very thankful.
Yep. And I'm hoping that things will settle down. Let's get back to the issue. If you're really concerned about an issue, address the issue. There's too many athletes, and I'm not talking locally necessarily. There's too many people that are so hung up on protesting, and we got to do this, we got to do that. Let's address the issues. I mean, the Sixers were talking about, we got to plan this, and if we have to stand, we're not going to go quietly when we do the anthem. How about we address the issue and stop worrying about the type, the style of the protest?
It's always about what you do in front of the camera. Why don't they do something off the camera?
Yeah.
If you're so concerned.
That's not cool. That's not trendy.
Well, that's the point. And again, we all end up talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but actually what behind the scenes is happening. And a lot of these NFL athletes, they do so much behind the scenes that nobody knows about. And there's so many, for every guy that or man or woman that plays sports that is on the bad side, there's hundreds of guys on the good side. There's so many stories you never even read about. J.J. Watt, how could you ever?
That's where we should be hearing more stories.
Absolutely,
that's what we should be hearing.
But you always hear the negative. But again, the media has to put out as much positive as they put out negative. But when you hear a story like that, you just run.
It's all
with
about
it.
The ratings.
They just run with it. Sure.
Yeah, it's got to sell. All right. Topic number two, college football. Who's the best player you guys have seen this year? Keith's a beat writer for Lehigh. Mike, you're the Lafayette co-voice of the Lafayette Leopards. Which college player has stuck out in your mind so far?
Overall college, NCAA, and the entire country?
That you've seen, yeah.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley. Can't argue with that.
Saquon Barkley and Baker Mayfield.
He says in person. I haven't seen Saquon in person since he left Whitehall. Troy Pelletier, who's going to be Lehigh's all-time leading receiver with 60 more yards on Saturday.
Terrific Mike, we'll see you tomorrow night. Whitehall Bethlehem Catholic live on RCN tomorrow night. Coming up, we have Rob Scarlotta from Georgetown. And a quick reminder, it's still that trivia question. You can email us if you want to get in. Just two teams account for five of the 10 youngest NFL head coaches since 1920. Name them. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're very pleased to be joined this segment by Rob Scarlotta, the head coach of the Georgetown University football team. Coach Scarlotta, thanks so much for joining us once again on Sports Talk this evening.
Great. Chris, thanks for having me.
I first wanted to ask you about last week's game against Princeton. You jumped out to the early lead, and then Princeton put a run together, and then your guys came back in the second half and really battled. How happy were you with the players' efforts to hang in there after getting behind? And could you talk about that game overall against the Tigers last weekend?
Yeah, sure. Now, Princeton's a good football team. Mm-hmm. We came out and got out to a fast start. We've been preaching all week, but we definitely were not consistent enough in the first half. At halftime, we challenged the kids to come out and create some things that we could build on, as we're getting into the league schedule here with Lehigh. So after the game, I told them I wasn't happy with the result, but absolutely happy with the effort they put forth in the second half.
Mm-hmm. One of the players I wanted to ask you about was your junior defensive back, Blaze Brown. The other day, set career highs in tackles, had two interceptions in the end zone against Harvard that really stopped the Crimson drive on two occasions, and then he got some weekly honors from the Patriot League. Could you talk a little bit about his performance so far?
Yeah, Blaze has been a contributor since he got here. He's a really accomplished high school player in baseball and football, and he's one of those guys in recruiting with the offensive and defensive staffs fight over once he says he wants to come. So he's been playing for us since he was a freshman in the secondary. And, one of the most impressive things about Blaze is probably the most physical safety I've been around since I started coaching. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think that to see him, but he'll strike you. And he returns kicks for us as well. And He's one of those all-around athletes that I'm sure if you put a five iron in his hand, he'd hit it straight. So he's a really talented kid. He's extremely dedicated to playing into this football team. So he's a great leader for us on and off the field.
Yeah. You have a lot of great players on this year's team. Could you talk a little bit about some of the younger players that have really impressed you so far and who have been some of your leaders on the field this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you look on the defensive side, we've got a lot of contributions from our freshman class. You know, Wesley Bowers has been great for us at middle linebacker. You know, he started since probably the second week of camp. Really talented, played the pass and the run, and he'll be a mainstay for us on our defense as we move forward. You know, Owen Kessler, the defensive end out of New Jersey, who was really highly recruited in the conference, and he's shown up, especially in the last two games here. So, you know, for us on defense, I think that they're the two that have stood out the most, but getting contributions, you know, from Duval Paul on the defensive line, as well as Zach Jewell and Jack Metz, and, you know, at the linebacker court, Lamont Wilson, who's playing a lot as well. So, you know, it's definitely one of the stronger classes. And they've earned their way on the field for special teams. And now they're starting to show up for some games.
Could you talk a little bit about what's it like when you have so much youth? It's exciting for fans to watch younger players and to watch them grow and develop. And at the same time, it's common when you have younger players, a lot of times they'll make young player type mistakes, and which I know is never happy for coaches and sometimes frustrating. Could you talk a little bit about that maturation process and what's it like and how you have to kind of use a little bit of patience and try to bring people along and continue them on their growth?
Yeah, I think it's the responsibility of the coaches to put the kids in the best positions to play. You know, I was lucky enough to coach here with Kevin Kelly for a long time. And we were different on defense, different schemes, and it was all, he taught me that it's kind of like cooking a meal. You have to look at what players you have, see what they do best, and then put them in the best spot that, you know, you can't put a round peg in a square hole. You know, Seth Martin has been starting for us at offensive tackle. He's a freshman out of Arkansas, Pulaski Academy, and you know, as you watch him physically, he can do everything for us. Offensive tack, which is really special as a freshman. One of the stronger kids in the class and really talented, great feet. And I'll live with a couple of mental mistakes and a couple of things with him because he's the most talented player that we have. So as coaches, it's our responsibility to figure out how to put the best 11 on the field, you know, on either side of the ball.
Rob Scarlatta, the head football coach at Georgetown University, is our special guest this segment. Before we take a look at the Patriot League schedule coming up, I just wanted to ask you and get your thoughts on your non-conference schedule. Obviously, some very tough teams again this year. And what were some of the things that your team and your players learned during the non-conference part of your schedule?
You know, you get asked the question a lot, especially every week press comes in and says, what do you think about Lehigh? What do you think about Princeton? We've been preaching to our players and our coaches that it's really all about our team. Everybody that we play is special. You know, they have talented players. They're very well coached. You know, you cross over and, you know, play a team like Marist with Jim Parody and play the Ivy League teams. They're going to be really well coached. So for us, it's about how we're getting from point A to point B and how we're building some of the things that we think are going to help us in the future league schedule as we get going with Lehigh this weekend.
Could you talk a little bit about your quarterback situation? Clay Norris, who I know has been with you for a while and played both last year, started the other night for you, a junior. And then Gunther Johnson, a transfer who came in from the University of Arizona, got some time last week, and he seemed to do a good job running the ball and passing the ball last week. So could you talk about the quarterback position and who might you be going with this Saturday against Lehigh?
You know, it's been a big competition for us since the first day of camp. You know, we got Tim Barnes back from an injury from last year, and he's a two-time captain and wears our 35 jersey. He competed with Clay throughout camp and has unfortunately been injured the last couple weeks for us. So, you know, Clay and Gunther bring two different skill sets to the table. You know, Clay probably had one of the better series that we've had from a quarterback here early in the game against Princeton. You know, when Princeton opened a pretty big lead, we wanted to see what Gunther could do for us. You know, he's probably not as much a pocket passer as Clay is, but he definitely is really dangerous with his feet, and he allows us to add that other aspect back run as a threat. And he showed that against Princeton, you know, whether it was design runs for him or scrambling and extended plays, and that was really impressive to see him come in that situation and help us rally back at the end of that game.
Could you talk a little bit about Saturday's matchup against Lehigh? Mountain Hawks are coming off their first win of the year. It is a league win, kind of dramatic fashion. They had a fumble late that helped them out, and they ended up winning by three. What were some of the things that you noticed on the film about Lehigh so far this year, and what will be some of your keys going into Saturday's game?
Yeah, you got to try to figure out how to stop their offense, or at least slow it down. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a lot of weapons. You know, Coach Cohen's always been special, but his offense is there. And, it all runs through the quarterback. You know, it all runs through Brad Mays. And he's got targets all over the place. And last week, what we saw against Colgate is they got their run game going. You know, Don Bragalone's been one of the better backs in the conference for the last couple of years. So we have to be really sound in what we do. Because they stretch your scheme lines and they get their really good players matchups on your own. So trying to minimize those issues and really tackle well against their backs. They run really hard. You know, the whole thing starts with their offensive line. You know, Colgate's got a very talented defense, and they really weren't able to get the quarterback very often. So those are some of the things that we're working on this week, trying to contain the quarterback and make sure that we do the job with matchups.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about some of the other teams in the Patriot League before we let you go? I had quite a few people saying that they were very impressed with Fordham, and they thought they were going to be at least one of the teams to beat in the Patriot League. They lose their home opener. Lafayette had struggled the first few weeks of their non-conference schedule, but now they're 2-0 and sitting in first place in the Patriot League. So what are your thoughts on the league overall?
It's just like any year, to be honest with you. I'm never surprised when we come off the field and I pull my phone up and I go look at the scores to see what's going on. And I think there's a lot of parity in the league. You know, there's some definitely some difference makers. You know, you have Chase Edmonds and you have Poulos up at Holy Cross quarterback. So, you know, those are the kids that make it go. But week in and week out, I'm never surprised. You know, Lafayette played great against Fordham down the stretch. Actually watched that game on the way back on the bus. And it doesn't surprise any fans that anybody's on top of anybody else. So you know, I know the league as a whole has struggled a little bit with the out-of-conference schedule, but the league is wide open right now. And that's how we're approaching it. You know, this is our first league test. And, you know, we think we have as good of a shot as anybody else does in the conference. We just need to worry about what we're doing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck as you embark on your Patriot League schedule this weekend against Lehigh.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Rob Scarlatta, the head coach of the Georgetown University football team. Our thanks to him for being on the show, and thanks to all of our guests on tonight's program. We'll be off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll be talking some Penn State football, and one of our special guests on the program will be Fox Sports' Matt Millen on the show. Matt Millen joining us in 2 weeks here on Sports Talk. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.